Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. My name is Smiley and I'm joined by Van Gelder, Crack, and we have two very special returning guests who have actually been very in demand from our listeners. We have the Lasty coming back and we also have Benjamin Nketiah coming back. I think this is his first appearance on the podcast this whole year. It's been a while. People have been crying for you. So Charlie, Benjamin, welcome back.
Bless up, Charlie. It's good to be here.
The Lasty, people have been saying that as your team know the force, they know they see you. But your team start force again, and they see you. So, like, what's up?
When they see me for? At the break, when they see me for? Because me, I didn't work on that, Charlie. Yeah, Charlie. The start of the season was rough, but...
No.
Anyway, you were... I'll see too much, but there was never in doubt. It was never in doubt.
Anyway, we get a very long episode, so Charlie, we jump right into it, starting with Man City versus Liverpool. Very exciting game that ended 3-0 in favor of Man City. Man City completely thrashed Liverpool, completely dominance performance. And for Liverpool, it seemed like things were getting a bit better after their whole streak where they lost 6 games in 7. They came back, they beat Aston Villa, they beat Real Madrid. So it looked like, okay, things were picking up again. Vets had a good performance against Real Madrid. So they thought, oh, Charlie, things they look good again. And then suddenly, this huge hammer blow from Man City. So Charlie, make us start with Benjamin. Because for Benjamin, I know that he's been a very strong anti-slot person over the past few weeks. For the people who have been listening to Sports Panorama and the City sports shows in general, he's been very, very strong on his anti-slot sentiments. So I don't know whether now you're feeling very justified because people were trying to rub it in your face that, oh, Charlie, you beat Real Madrid, you beat Aston Villa, things are picking up, so you are wrong. But it looks like you've been proven right. So how do you feel about this one? Do you feel like Slot has done everything he can for Liverpool? Do you think there's no chance of him turning things around?
Oh, I mean, just like you followed, like I've said, Coach Nedley ever sacking. He's not good enough, to be honest. I feel like he is getting the credit in the bank, or he's using up his credit in the bank from winning the title. And that's cool. You know, I wasn't one of the people who was eager to say that this is like the title-winning team was Klopp's team and that he didn't tweak much. I wanted to stay away from that narrative as much as possible, but it looks like it's what it is. And if you watch the football last season, I think the only thing that changed was that instead of the counter-press whenever Liverpool lose the ball, I think they would settle more into a regroup type, I mean, shape, and then try to control how much chaos there was in the game. I think he did that really well. And then we transition to this season. We give you close to £400 million in signings, buy you new toys, and then all of a sudden, you know, if you drive the car, I mean, what's up? You be cool guy. You did drive Hyundai. We up your game, give you Lambo or Ferrari. All of a sudden, you did bump into the sidewalk. You did hit billboards and things. Like, where they going? You know, like there's a couple of reasons why I think Slot needs to go. You know, the season started against Bournemouth, I remember. Where Liverpool, then that game was shaky. Defense-wise, was shaky. And I feel like the decline under Slot didn't even start this season. It actually started last season, if you are being honest. If you watch how Liverpool finished the campaign, the last 10 games were very rocky. They were literally praying for the season to end. And so I wasn't too shocked when preseason started and all of a sudden the team looked very open against like average sides. We were playing, I think they played a friendly against a couple of sides and I was really worried, but you know, it'd be preseason. So then I was trying not to work myself up too much. My mind would say, maybe this time he's trying to implement his own philosophy so that the whole like puzzle will come together eventually. Then I see the first game of the season against Bournemouth and what Semenyo did to Van Dijk and Konate. I was like, okay, make I no shake too much. It'd be first game. But the way the defense was like just ripped apart, the middle, every time like a ball goes to the middle of the park, it just splits Liverpool's midfield. I'm like, ah, what are you going? And then on top of it too, slot they do, like, you won't build a team around Cody Gakpo. That'd be the part that vexed me completely. Like, how you get Isak, get Ekitike, you get, how'd you call it? Florian Wirtz, and then you're trying to build your team around Cody Gakpo. Like, Gakpo, if he play rubbish, then he go score some tapping goal, then Slot will be at the presser saying that he doesn't understand why people are upset that he left Gakpo in the game because Gakpo was the man of the match. Like, bro, like we upgrade beyond that point. The fact that a player scores a goal doesn't mean he's had a good game. That's the honest truth. In the game he was talking about, I think Gakpo came on, he played the full game, scored the goal, got a couple of chances down the flank to take his man on, finish or lay a pass, and he flapped his lines every single time. I didn't tell my guy, if I be fullback, Cody Gakpo never go dribble me. Like, he's never getting past me once. This guy in game be predictable. You know, he be one trick pony. You know, get any tricks where he go get past me. So I'm not sure why Slot thinks that Gakpo is a guy to build around. And it's not, it's not something you can pick out immediately, but almost every time he's on the team sheets, and I'm like, what's going on here? You have Chiesa. Chiesa has more goal contributions, I believe, only outside of Ekitike. But some way, somehow, Chiesa almost for beg Slot for like some minutes. I know the bab. Everybody in the say, when this guy's playing, he's probably your most creative player. He can press, he can attack, he can score, he can assist. He does literally everything for you. Some way, somehow, the manager can't find a place for him in the team. That's one of my first things. Two, like I mentioned earlier, we don't buy you 400 million worth of players and you don't seem to know what to do with them. Like, either do Matra, Marco, or Florian Wirtz. Today, left wing, tomorrow, number 10, the next day on the bench, the next time come. It's all very confusing. In that process, you are hurting the confidence of the player. You are completely changing roles and tactics all the time. He can't learn anything. And then you have Isak. Everybody thought that Isak was on his way to being one of the best finishers in the world, if not even one of the best finishers in the world already. Comes to Liverpool and all of a sudden, he's struggling. I mean, I consider the fact that Isak didn't have preseason, but we can't use that purely as an excuse. I watch the games where Isak plays and he touches the ball like once every 20 minutes. That is definitely coaching. That's tactical. That's one of your best on-ball players. So if you're one of your best players on the ball cannot have enough touches to impact a game, that's on you, the manager. And then the other added bit about Liverpool's defensive struggles. We've had defensive struggles since last season. Liverpool can't defend a set piece to save their lives. Every time there's a cross in or a corner, there's panic. And Liverpool have some of the tallest defenders in the league. Van Dijk, Konate, 6'4", 6'5". You have no excuse to be fluffing your lines with dead balls. So, if you ask me, if a manager will turn things around, you can see the signs. Some improvements here, some improvement there. I wasn't getting fooled by those Aston Villa and Real Madrid games because Real Madrid themselves can be sketchy. Aston Villa, it's like Aston Villa came to do exactly what, like the opposite of all the teams that had been giving Liverpool problems. They came, didn't press well enough, just presented themselves to be beaten, really. If you watch that game, it was not anything that I was going to be impressed by.
They didn't exploit the long balls and were just trying to pass at the back and all of those things.
You know what, you know the funniest thing we say, right now, Slot say the like teams are playing tactics that he's not prepared for. I mean, why are you even saying things like this? He say, what did he say? He says that for instance, the United game. He says United played long balls and so prevented Liverpool from pressing. I'm like, what do you mean? So they can't play the tactics you prepare for. So right now, I tell guys, say right now, before teams play Liverpool, they must prepare the tactics, the notes, the strategy, the substitutions, everything, and send to him like 48 hours ahead of time. So he knows that this is what's coming from the opponent so he can prepare adequately. I mean, come on, this guy was sounding like a tactical in his first season. Every time he win game, then he did behind the cameras, they break down tactics that undid his opponents. All of a sudden, you are losing four games on the bounce and you're telling us that teams are playing with strategies that you did not prepare for or you did not envision. That alone is loser talk for me. That type of talk alone is enough for you to get fired. The manager is out of his depth. I don't see where the light is coming for Liverpool. And I say that, look, the longer, if Liverpool have proper ambitions this season, they need to sack the manager as soon as possible. Or else, they'll probably finish 10th or 8th, no European place, money down the drain. And if you spend money like this and you don't make Champions League football, your bankers will come after you. So as for me, I'm just a concerned Liverpool fan. I hope they do the right thing. I hope they don't get swayed by emotions. They should take a page out of Daniel Levy's book to Postecoglou and do the right thing. I think that's what I say for now.
But I was asking Fred this question last week. As a Liverpool fan, isn't it harsh to sack him after just 3-4 months into a new season after he's delivered a league title to you, particularly considering that you have won 2 Premier League titles?
Yeah.
If we are looking in the Premier League era, you've won 2 Premier League titles. He's won one of the two. So isn't it harsh to just want to sack him 3 months
if into the If you're keeping it in the back, well, one quick interjection. Honestly, the reason Liverpool won the title last season because Arsenal and City massively underperformed. So last season, I don't really watch a lot of Liverpool football because City were bad. But this season, I said, well, maybe I go watch last season in stats to see what's up. You know, people literally finished only 2 points better off than the previous season. Scored the same number of goals and conceded the same number of goals. So as the season starts with people, they talk, say, oh, slot me, this guy. I'm like, seriously? Because I should watch in stats from back. That nigga is not an elite manager for shit. Like, Klopp was doing it in Dortmund against Pep before he came to Liverpool. Like Liverpool don't really understand how much Klopp was an elite manager. He'd be only unlucky say he didn't Pep the goal. That nigga for win like 3. And I give partially the title last season to Klopp, to be honest. Like, I don't give it to fully to Slot. Because anytime I see Slot talking, I'm like, ah, is this guy a serious coach? Because I know they see him for shit. Honestly, like, I really don't see that.
Real talk. Like, I have the same sentiments about the manager. And Smiley talks about the fact that he's won a title for them. Shouldn't we be more sympathetic? No, me, if it comes football, I know they, unless I'm in the stands watching from a fan perspective, even that, like, maybe because I'm a journalist, I know they watch football with emotions like that. Like, especially on something like this. It's perform or get booted out. It's the Premier League. It's the biggest league in the world. It's the league that gets the most money pumped. You are earning an absolute killing. So I'm not here to do, oh, you won a title for me this season, so I'm going to watch you tank my team and take my team to mid-table. That's not acceptable. And like I said, I think that there are financial implications attached to this. If like you spend this kind of money and you don't get some returns in, you go make hot. Like, PSR and financial fair play will bite you in there. So you need to get your act together and stop being emotional about it. They need, Klopp said something. He was like, he not say Liverpool even go fit spend money like this. He shocked me. Liverpool gets this much money to spend summer.
We all shocked Liverpool they spend.
And if he, what they pay me, they say, Slot is letting good players look bad. Like, that's the part that hurts me the most. Like, Isak is a world beater. Like, Isak be top down on any day. He can rap shoulders with anybody on any day. Florian Wirtz, I mean, I'm like 50-50 on German players coming to the Premier League. But I've seen Wirtz enough to know that he's a very intelligent player. And under the right guidance, he probably will not be putting up eye-popping numbers in his first season. But, I mean, how has Florian Wirtz barely assisted or scored almost 15 games into the season? Come on, man. Like, some of these things are just unacceptable.
Double,
and they are on the manager.
11.
It can't be on anybody else. It's just unacceptable. I just think that, I'm saying, I don't see any sign that says that this team will get better. Look, Konate has gotten worse. Van Dijk has gotten worse over time. You brought Jeremy Frimpong to our Ghanaian brother who plays for the Netherlands. I don't even like to throw him under the bus, but he's looked completely lost. I don't even want to put it on him because the whole team just looks in disarray. Midfield is not clicking.
By throwing Gakpo under the bus.
Oh, Gakpo, the Onyade. It's a fact.
He was one of the better players against City when he came on. He actually do something against.
You see, that be the thing about Gakpo. Gakpo he'd be very deceptive guy. Like he go show you like how did they call him that? Like he did like mini skirts. Like you know, Bob. He they show you some flesh, but he know they show you the full.
This analogy did like, someday.
That be Cody Gakpo's behavior. Like you're never seeing the full picture with him. He go give you like glimpses of brilliance. He go score some crazy goal once in a blue moon. Then he'll go on like a 5-game run where he's completely just pants. And I've seen it too many times. Like I say, from a modern winger or a modern inside forward, I don't expect too much from you. Your ability to beat your man, putting a goal cross, or to link up play with the guys in and around you. If you can finish, cool. But Gakpo hits bar this season like close to 4 or 5 times already. Like some chances we have just for convert, then he go hit bar. Then sometimes when the team is playing bad, he'll be like the one bright spot in the team. So he's hard to criticize. But I say this, look, he's been at Liverpool. I think this is his third season. He's had one good season. That's the honest truth. This season, he's been hot and cold. So I don't know why Slot is extending the Dutch tax to him. We can all see the nepotism. Chiesa is miles better than Cody Gakpo. Absolutely nobody can tell me that Gakpo and Chiesa are in the same ballpark. Chiesa suffered an ACL injury, has come back, was barely fit. And when you give him 5 minutes, he will show you what he can do. 10 minutes, he will show you what you can do. Some way, somehow, I don't know what the manager has on him because it doesn't make any sense to me. No, they make any sense.
See, make I tell you. You know how they love some. Because this be the exact same thing with Freddie. Liverpool fans, they don't really like Gakpo. And they hate on the guy. But the team is saying, they no one
now,
talk.
Modern day winger, they call him Gakpo. I mean, come on.
It's all right now. What are we doing? He named the you know me, he named the
Gakpo, the
name. No, Vitaly, no, still the name.
Oh, you're from Bob. Gakpo. Oh, come on, bro.
Smiley.
Gakpo, come on, bro.
Liverpool fans say, then they do, but they won't do like the mighty. They're not the one talk the truth, say, the Frimpong guy and the KKS guy. Straight bomb.
Honestly, Liverpool misspent. You didn't spend well. Because, like I said, we were all surprised at the way these people were spending and the kind of players you went for. Honestly, that's part of the reason why I know the C-slot. Because Trent was your creative player. Trent leaving was a problem. That should have been addressed. If you wanted to go for Isak, that's fine. But I don't think you should have gone for Isak and Ekitike. You should have gone for one and probably gone for a defender and spread out the money a little bit into the squad.
They should have bought a DM.
Whatever. They should have spent better. And Liverpool fans were understandably excited about the new season. But honestly, Salah felt like he was coming to an end. I don't know. There is no analysis to this, but it just felt like he was coming on his last legs. It really just felt like that. Van Dijk too, every time you win a season, like the title, the next season, he really tried like that. So this pattern from the past. So as the season starts, Liverpool really know the inside for me. It was either City figured their shit out or Arsenal going up. That was it for me. Like Liverpool were never in it. So like
crack
you said,
the facial expressions they kill me.
See, crack they kill me because no, but the truth, look, Liverpool, yeah, at the guy, shout out to Bromo by the way. Last season, there's a guy on Twitter called Bromo. He from the beginning of the season, every time with the team said Club the Aisha, do that club. Slot the Aisha, he's tactically bankrupt. Where people go see him soon. Last season, as they win the league, then people they diss him. Say, this season, if Liverpool play in order, go retweet something. Last year, Slot's biggest problem is that it's almost as if he doesn't know what to do with the talent he has at his disposal.
Okay.
And it check like somebody where he learned driving. If you come Europe, yeah, if you learn driving, either you go learn manual or automatic. If you learn automatic, you can't drive a manual car. But if you learn manual, you go free drive manual and automatic. Slots get automatic license where they go buy a manual car. that be what they have. You get automatic license. Manuaka. He's really miss like, I even feel like he's not the one who signs all these players. That guy, that richest guy, then go carry come back, can give him more power, whatever.
No. Oh no, the truth is, slots know they sign any players. The Liverpool, they work with sporting directors, so they buy the players for you. Whether you like them or not, we buy them for you. So figure
out
how to
do it. But the biggest problem is that,
yeah,
how does the manager? Because obviously, then they can't buy player, give you, like as in one buy KKs, as in the one buy Frimpong. Obviously, then go talk say, Charlie, this be the player with the carry camo. So you go watch, then try see, okay, how can I deploy this guy in my formation or whatever.
Yeah.
But Frimpong in first games, then he did play like right wing. He wasn't even playing right back. He was playing like right wing.
Yeah. He's not right
Your
back.
Your best right back this season has actually been Sabolai.
Connor Bradley.
Dominic. The Bradley guy, he's not good. Look, let's speak the truth, though. He's not good. He then cares their Frimpong. Frimpong defeat dance. That be all.
I think
he's not good, though.
Nah,
let's speak.
Right now you do mess up. No, see, Frimpong, I'm looking at him sideways right now, to be honest, because he'd be right wing back, granted. Right wing back, more of a right midfielder, right winger. And he's been asked to play a right back, which is okay. But you see, some things it's not even about possession. Like, if you can't simply trap a ball and pass, you cannot trap a ball and turn. Like, those things don't have anything to even do with your role. If you just say, either say the stage on which you have arrived is overwhelming you, or like you just shy, it'd be two things. So me, I want to give him grace, because if a midfielder can come into your position and boss your position ahead of you, you have a big problem on your hands.
What about Conor Bradley? What about KKs?
No, Charlie, KKs be terrible.
India, it'd be bomb, something... man. India, you sign up Afghanistan
it,
bomb.
It'd be bomb, it'd be bomb. But then, AC, I hope he'll come, good, because I watched him last season. All the good things he did last season, he can't seem to do again. He was an absolute monster on the overlap, like very killer crosses from deep. He definitely do all those things.
They say that. Gakpo in fault. Gakpo know they help him.
That one today. Everything bad you say about Gakpo is true.
okay, what about Vets? Like, Vets too, he be partial bomb. He be radioactive.
No.
He get half life.
As for Vets, I'm not buying it. I think that Vets is... He's a prime example of a manager like tanking the confidence of a player. He's just moving the guy around all over the place. If you keep moving me around, I'll be confused, because
it's not the movement. That's why you know if you pass. It not be the movement around. That's why I know if you give to pass. That not be why you know if you trap, then turn around.
No,
tracking
see,
and getting
you
free. You know if you do that tactic.
Hold on. You see, when you come into a new team as a new player from a new league, there's obviously the adjustment period. It'd be only like a few handful of players who can just hit the ground running when they come into a new league. Now, the worst thing that can also happen to you is coming into a team where the manager hasn't figured out what he wants to do himself. He hasn't figured out his entire starting 11. He keeps chopping and changing. He keeps changing your role. Like, the next time, like, you go conf. That'd be the honest truth. If you enter a new environment, some proper orientation day for you.
What orientation?
Way, like...
What orientation?
Oh, if
the day of November.
You go break. You go break.
See. With the money you bought him for.
For real.
With the money you bought him for. There's no excuses.
What's his best position?
Who give Pogba grace?
Caicedo. Who give Caicedo grace?
Yeah. You go buy Pierre Wilder for 40 million or whatever. Go break boy.
Plus 10 million in adults.
Look,
122.
What's that?
You don't feel you can't tell me numbers.
You don't tell me 140.
Plus 10.
We go to
an appraisal.
You don't tell me
you
wanna. Hey.
Master, we get a number
we
for
go
you.
Convert them, we go convert them. Go. That money go fee help Ghana. That money go fee help Ghana in GDP safe. If we
GDP,
when
the defense minister that my money.
No, see, the longer it talks to the long and short, we say Vians go come good. They just for sack the manager.
What does come good mean? Like,
do you know?
My minimum expectations for this season is that you need to give me 10 goals and 10 assists at least. Like, worst case scenario,
140 million.
No, reach.
Yeah, 10, plus 10, 10 million. No, 10 and 10 is cool for me. 30.
$150 million, 10 and 10.
Hey, you like the buying add-ons where they take give the, they take do the this.
You know the similarity. You know what they go on for here? It make a kind of time we go bring Kagawa come United. Shinji Kagawa, we go bring him come. Then we say, then they play him out of position. Oh, my boy Kagawa, then me and Wellington. Charlie, Shinji, Shingo, today they play him. They say in natural position be 10. Today they play him 7, they play him 11. They were just finding ways to fit him in. And far. Not many players come from it. That transition from the German league to the EPL, it doesn't favor a lot of players. If ever some caliber of players when they be hard rock, like players where, like you see the way the Michael Ballack's day, like the hard, Kevin, hardened Kevin players, like, yeah, exactly, Kevin De Bruyne, and he said, you know, really, like the Bremen style of play, he needed small time to adjust, but he was from England, when they came back, he not sit up, like,
no,
that,
see,
that guy be too sexy for EPL, I'm telling you, the boy they play,
see, crack, if he be Klopp, they hold this team. We no go top this thing. Jagger pressing,
go,
they cry.
Klopp
like,
no go buy.
Klopp
no go buy this
buy
player.
Klopp
will
probably.
Klopp
will
probably.
Klopp
will
probably.
Klopp
will
buy. Klopp will try. 140
no,
plus 10.
Said, no. No, Klopp, he no players use. Klopp, then he try buy with Leon Goretzka.
But Goretzka, you don't see much, man. And you don't see Goretzka in body. And why you be like, man? Exactly, your man like
Germany know the
you go by your coach like mechanics, Klopp like mechanics. You see the kind of players where they buy.
Make we move on to Man City because Man City they had a period in the season where it looked like they were going to have like a repeat of last season, but suddenly they look like it looks like they've kicked up another gear. Like things are going very well for them. So for the last season, you at the beginning of the season you made some very bold proclamations about Man City. You said you said you were very confident that they were going to win the title. And then things flipped and it looked like your prediction was going very sideways. And now somehow things have flipped in your favor again. So how do you feel now? How confident are you that Man City can overtake Arsenal? Because nobody likes to have Man City breathing down their necks.
So I've been watching City for 8 years as they win their 8 titles. And you know, we've only walked the league twice. That'd be when I'm 100 points, then COVID season, when I'm with 86 points. That season said we lose like 6 games. Every single season, we have made up a deficit. So in Mancini this time, it was a 9-point deficit after 32 games, a 7-point deficit, or Arteta, 8-point deficit after 20 matches. So as much as the start of the season was disappointing, because the Brighton game in particular annoyed me. Because Spurs, I can understand. Spurs, then they score we normal. It's annoying, but it happens. Brighton, it be recently where they started to see one on top. So at that match, we lose. I wouldn't say I lost confidence, but it was irritating for that. That loss was extremely irritating because we scored first and it felt like the same things were happening as last season. But if I'm being honest, looking at the squad we have, there was never any doubt that we have a very, very talented squad that can go on to win the league. Like, we have 10 treble winners in the squad. We have 15 players that have actually won the Premier League. We have the best manager in the world. So all of those facts, there was nothing to suggest that Arsenal and Slot and Liverpool were going to win it. Because again, we've seen what Arteta can do. Last season, he should have won it. Like Arsenal fans would like to dance around it. Fair play, fair enough. But he should have won it last season because City were bad. And I gave City a pass last season because we had won 4 in a row. I didn't expect us to win 4 in a row, if I'm being honest. I thought 3 in a row, then the next season somebody would score with. But Pep managed to do 4 in a row. I never thought it was going to be 5 in a row. So last season, I was expecting a drop-off, but not as bad as it was. Fair play, you know, Bob. There were a lot of things that came together. Like everything that could go bad went bad. A combination of things last season. And the likelihood that it was going to happen again this season was very low. So the disrespect Pep was getting at the start of the season, I didn't understand it. Not even from a banter point of view, but from a historical point of view. Like, there is nobody in the league that knows how to win the league better than Pep. Or are they like? So the start of the season, the confidence was there and it is still there. I am just a quietly cautious person. So I know we talk plenty, but I believe the first game Liverpool that weekend, I predicted a loss, and then I was like, if Arsenal lost against Newcastle, City was going to walk the league. So I was looking to see if Arsenal had some backbone, and they proved that they had some backbone. They came back to win against Newcastle, tough ground. So I believe it's going to be a title race. I could be wrong, but given the way Pep they talk, the energy come back. Oh, yeah, Charlie, it could be long for niggas. So the confidence is still there.
But when you say you have like the team to do it and all of that, at the moment, Man City looks like you're very much a one-man team, which is very much unlike a typical Pep team where everybody's.
I really don't agree with that analysis.
At the moment, I don't agree with that analysis. In the Premier League, for example, Haaland is the only player in your team who has scored more than 2 goals or something like that.
Yeah.
So what happens if Haaland gets?
This is how I see it. It's like asking Arsenal, what if Gabriel gets injured? He is our player. He is the best striker in the world. When Haaland came to City, the narrative was, he picked the wrong team. And the team that they played to his strength. Now we play to his strength, it doesn't matter. What has to be the gap for people to be comfortable? You know? So I don't agree that we're a one-man team because it will be like he passed the ball to himself to score. The team is set up for him. And I didn't doubt those. We are only 11 games in. There is no doubt that other players will come in. But he is the main man. And if he stays fit, he will score 40-plus goals at the rate he's going. So, personally, I'm not worried about that. If he gets injured, I think Mamouche is a good enough finisher to hold us down until he comes back. You know, like, are we talking a season-ending injury or, like, a month? And, like, what are we talking here, injury-wise?
If he's out for, say, like, a month or 2 months, is there anybody who's an obvious... Like an obvious person.
I think Mamouche is a. I don't know. I think Mamouche is a decent finisher because by the time we buy him, he was the better of key.
I mean, he hasn't really been doing this because you have only one player who has scored more than 2 goals.
He has been injured, but he has been injured. Like you know, he has been injured though. Like he has been injured.
Yeah, but the thing is,
I think he came back like 3 games ago. He came back like 3 games ago. So I'm honest. Like, what exactly are you looking for right now? Like. He wants to say something.
Who would have thought Free Palestine who goes go help Pep? See some player in name they mention say
Mamu.
And then over they tell me say if Allah no de Mamu. Mamia. Mamu, you gotta tell me say if this guy will go help. Stop what you do, no.
But Mamu should be good.
Talasi, I get what you mean. Look, if I was a City fan, I'd be
concerned.
Honestly, I'm not. I'm really not. Like, it's not even me being...
Vangelda, like, you finish talk before I go talk. Vangelda, you finish talk before I go talk.
I genuinely think it's concerning. I see that and then I shock. He did like 12 or 13. Then the rest of them, then they like 1-1-1-1-1. I think somebody has two.
Ongosef.
Ongosef get like, two. Yeah. See? Yeah. And that's a problem. And I don't
Isn't
think...
It
I get it. Yes, he's your player. And he's doing well. See, as he go Norway, he go if he go hit. This one he go Norway. He go if he go hit. And nobody say you open up the take care of him or anything. He go if he go hit. Then does the coach now have to devise a new strategy? Because no forget, there are certain balls where if it be Haaland, you know the word. If you clip him over the top, where Haaland get foot race plus defender. Because as you're saying, he's coached the way you play now, to feed Haaland to score. Will Mamouche have the same level of movement, intelligence, and temperament?
Nobody has that.
If he wants, then does it mean that Pep now has to coach a different style in this, how Freddy they call him, the December curve? In this December even now they can't teach a new tactic
only,
or what?
Only time will tell. However, again, I believe in Pep, and there is nothing to suggest that Pep would figure out a solution because literally this season he's moving away from his style of play. Everybody talks say, "Oh, this be new Pep." Like he has proven that he can adapt. So that argument I don't agree with. Only time will tell. It is opinions right now. Fair play. But the fact that he has to get injured for us to see whether or not that would be like it.
the problem is because the other option you're talking about is not as talented or on the same level as the player, it is a very fair thought or a very fair statement or opinion to have that if you had like say like Doku 5 goals, Foden 4 goals, Bernardo 3 or 4, Nico Gonzalez get some, Savinho get some, like people will be less worried because at the moment it just feels like if you stop Erling Haaland, Man City will not be able to score, and that is a problem. And you may think you may not agree with the opinion, but it is a very fair conclusion to come to.
That's fair. I could also say that if Gabriel got injured, honestly,
I don't understand this. If Gabriel, it's not the same thing. I don't get this. If Gabriel, it's not the same thing. This thing you did talk, no. Like, how many times we do over 1.5 where then the Man City match, they end 1-0 with a Haaland goal. Nobody else, they feel do anything. Like, we didn't to watch them against Villa. How many, they've struggled to score in matches this season. Let's not do like, we literally, City goes into matches and we go like, City power where they play 0-0 as a 70-something minute.
How many matches have we struggled in this season to score?
When I say the matches you struggled in, if Haaland is not turning up or Haaland is not the one scoring the first goal, nobody else, they come to your rescue. Aside your first two matches that you started, you know, when Spurs beat you and all of that, people were saying that, hey, you people were found out and all. The guy they buy from AC Milano.
Tijani?
Reindeers.
Yes, Reindeers. The Tijani, time he scored Reindeers. The 2 goals, everybody they talk say they bought a goal scoring midfielder we can't replace Kevin De Bruyne, blah, 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 and all those things. Since then, as Cheki go injury, come back, I give you all of those things, right? There's been injury hitting your team and all of that. But somebody where he has not been consistent, he has not been good enough for 2 seasons is folding. And for you to win the league, there's a reason why last season you struggled.
He was bad 1 season. Let's correct that. Because the season before, he was the PFA player of the year. So one bad season is not an indication
that he is bad.
This season, Seth, you know the
listen what exactly what I'm saying.
You know the C-talk?
It's been...
Do you watch Man City though?
I do.
Like, Naga, we don't watch again. What did they tell we know? The guy don't play anything. What are you saying? I don't understand. Hey, make a decision. This guy.
Okay.
Anyways,
let me ask you a question.
Back to what I was saying. This guy, he's not going to listen to you. At this point, nobody they care about anybody's opinion. Make who shoot. Because nobody don't want to change anybody's mind. We all they talk based on what we've seen. And I'm letting you know that if one man team, one man plays a few win league, like Harry Kane wins on for 30 am long time. Like Isak Seb wins on for, like Isak, like Isak, like Isak Seb, like Isak Seb wins on
for. Who went on for you? Your last Premier League, who went on for you? It not be Van Persie went on for you.
Go check the number of people that were in double figures in that season. Why you
at
think
the
so?
End
then
of the season, we are 11 games into the season. Why are we talking like this is 30
11 games in the season where you're attacking me for that get one
that
goal.
That be the evidence
your,
we have now.
Wingers get one
say,
goal.
That be the evidence we have now. Why? Killer. Which kind of evidence?
Let's
what are you
talking
about?
Since January. 25 matches. This been first goal in 25 matches. Like
That's a lie.
You know me, I talk. If
it's
cocker, I talk.
It's a lie. In the Premier League or in all competitions?
In the Premier League, when be the last time you scored goal?
Fair enough.
So, who they talk about all competition? We talk about Europe for you.
Just be clearer.
He scored goal for EPL. 25. See, all we know is we've watched football enough to know the pattern.
We've watched football enough.
So if we two we talk on our own, don't try to dispute one our own like you play your own. Be fact. That's all we are trying to say.
I'm not disputing anybody's own. I simply said I do not agree with your opinion.
Don't agree. We don't hear. Make we talk on our opinion. If you agree or not, your pocket is like that. No, why would
they stop you?
All with the talk we say. When I experience an opposition, everybody be winners for you. You know, you talk like Arsenal former group, like we all not get experience in winning league and things. So you understand? We don't be Arsenal former.
You
talk like that. You understand?
How make?
So all I'm saying is,
was there anything I said that was offensive?
Uh-huh. We've seen title winning teams. We've had back to back to back as well, right?
I've had also back to back.
If we are going by your back to back to back, the time you were winning, you've never had a player only at this stage that had times 7 of everybody in stats in the team. Go check your whole stats after 11 games. Tell me, say, then you get players where they get 1, 2, and then the gap between the person who did the top, then the second or third player be 9 goals. What are you saying? Like, let's be realistic here. You understand? And there are games where if Haaland or the feet turn up, you struggle. This season happened. That'd be why we don't talk about your goal scoring happen. There are matches where, was it they are Villa, right? What was the score? Was it 1-0 or something like that?
1-0, yeah.
And there was another game where them play, where, was it 0-0 or something like that going into the... I forget the match. Was it 0-0 or 1-1 or something like that?
It was 2-2 against Monaco.
You get it. So, like, no, I'm still talking about the EPL. You get it. Like, you
we
have drop not drawn, points.
Will you draw against Arsenal? That was, like, after the equalize. So, we draw 1-1 at Emirates where we lose 3 matches.
Yeah, 1-1. So we win 7. Exactly. So, you see, and all those matches, it's like if Haaland or the C-top or Haaland miss 1 or 2, nobody, they can't save him. This is why we are saying Phil Foden. Phil Foden or the C-top, because Foden not be player where he's some of the entire players. He's supposed to be contributing with goals and assists. He's not doing that. Last season too, he struggled with that. The reason you are praising Phil Foden 2 years ago, because his stats match his performance. Last season and this season so far, it's not matching it. That'd be why England said, if he gets on stats.
The reason I asked if you watch City games is, at least from what I've seen of our matches, it looks like Foden is playing a more deeper role. And the reason why I don't agree that Foden would be C-top is the way we are choosing to play. If it was the Liverpool game, we got out of some very, very tight spots because Liverpool pressed decently well at times. But the way we're able to get out of the press, down to Phil Foden's ability in tight spaces. So I don't know what exactly you want to see from Foden for you to for him to be a world class beater to you. But currently he's playing a different role than he was 2 seasons ago.
Why? So you have two Bernardo Silvers on the pitch. You think that's what you need? You think that is what you need? Two Bernardo Silvers on the pitch.
Plenty is working.
It's not working.
How is it not working?
Maybe you think it's working. We'll see at the end of the season. Media, I told you already.
No worries.
Your team will struggle.
Don't worry.
Just pray, say Haaland no hit.
And like Cracky said, the main issue is that I don't think when you look around, like even throughout history, you'd find a lot of teams where there's such a huge dependence on one person scoring and the rest are not putting up. Pulling their weight. Because even if you look at Bayern, for example, this season, Harry Kane is smashing all these records, scoring all these goals and everything. But Luis Diaz has scored like 11 goals so far this season. And like they said, even in previous Man City teams, there's always a secondary scorer who is also pulling his weight. And apart from that, it doesn't necessarily have to be the case where two people are the ones scoring all the goals. But there's a fair spread of goals between other players.
We can agree that there are periods of time where players have different varying forms. So the fact that Haaland is having form right now doesn't suggest that other players will not take up the goal scoring if that becomes an issue. Currently, it isn't.
We are talking about the evidence at hand. You make projection based on your evidence. I don't get what this guy is doing. If they give you case study, then they give you case study on the evidence you get right now and the result. We are looking at this
and we are saying that you are making
projections based on this. That this, with what we've seen, we've never seen this. And if it continues like this, success is low. That's what we are saying.
Okay.
How is that difficult to accept?
I have heard. I hear. Osmani.
I just look at folding in stats this season. He played 9 matches in the Premier League. 1 goal, 1 assist.
How many Saka get? Like 1 goal, 3 assists or something like that? Or 1 goal, 2 assists?
It no dey matter how many Saka gets. One be winger, one be attacking midfielder. Let's even assume that Saka self no good. I know Shedda, they like Arsenal. But Saka is even coming back from an injury. One goal or four assists or one goal, three assists. Somebody could talk to you, it'd be cornered and just, it'd be cool. But one goal, three assists, one goal, five. But are they talking about Phil Foden?
You know what? I agree.
One
I
assist.
Agree.
It is 712 minutes. Bro, it doesn't matter how, where he did play or how deep he did drop to come and carry the ball or whatever. You and I can objectively see that is not good enough.
He has missed big chances.
Assist safe. If you know
so much, they set the him score up in the box. He played the ball pass somewhere. He's not even been clinical in front of goals this season. Last season he was struggling.
I personally find some of his finishing a little irritating. He has never been an elite goal scorer.
Doku is a very good chance creator. He be chance magnet. If he do something on the ball, he go dribble in way.
He destroyed Liverpool crazy.
He contribute something, even if he's not scoring. He's contribute something to other players who are going to score. Savinho too. I'm not sure what he did. I can't tell if he's good or he's like, even if people say, I don't know if he's good.
Savinho, I agree with you. I think currently some of our best players are Haaland. The people won't agree, but I think Foden has been decent. I think Bernardo has been decent. And I think our back four has been decent. I think the rhetoric about Arsenal having a right back, I felt like City knew what they were doing. So Pep felt like he could turn Matheus Nunes into an elite right back. Nobody saw Nico O'Reilly coming and becoming an elite left back because he has locked every world-class left winger or attacker he has faced so far this season. Time will tell. We'll play Madrid soon. So if you lock up Vinny, then it'll be like he started racking numbers up. So like I said, I like our team because that hasn't changed regardless of the results. And I watch us every day. I watch City all the time. So we would have varying opinions on
make you like your team for you. At least Smiley Mo move on. And I like my team. Like Shatawali, everybody like my team. Make you like your team for you. And I like my team.
Moving on, we are entering into another international break. And yet again, Black Stars are bringing us more drama. In the first place, they decided to name the Black Star squad today, Tuesday, which is extremely unusual. In like, I can't think of many precedents to this besides the Black Stars themselves, because a lot of teams named their squads for the international break even before the weekend round of fixtures. So it's really an unusual thing to see a team naming their squad, particularly when we are going to play two friendlies. I think the first friendly, correct me if I'm wrong, is going to be on Friday. Also, I'm not too sure about their fixtures and everything.
But killer, then the players already they playing inside, they go the camp. Then there's still no tell we who they go the camp.
I mean, for one, we can commend them on being able to keep secrets, because if the players already know, say them call them up, but we will not know anything about that. Unless maybe the journalists who were aware, maybe Benjamin can give more light on that. But
them guard them, it's they a very them talk. They're not gonna make them go America. That'd be why they're not talking.
they're
not gonna give the presentation.
But yeah, it's an unusual thing, and it's a trend we've seen for the Black Stars over the past maybe the past year or so, where it's like they keep
since the last AFCON.
Yeah, they keep the squad close to their chest until it's like they try to confuse the opponents. Some kind of tactics and but before we even get into that, over the past few games or the past few months, one of the biggest debates about the Black Stars squad, particularly now that we've even qualified for the World Cup, is about our goalkeeping situation. And mainly to do with Benjamin Nsari. And it's a very interesting one because Black Stars, we've struggled with goalkeepers ever since maybe Olele left the squad. We've struggled with goalkeepers over, we've not had one really dependable goalkeeper. And now for some reason, we have a goalkeeper whose pedigree is questionable, but somehow we are keeping clean sheets. Now there's one camp that says that he's not really been tested. And there are others who are saying that if he will not be tested, it's because he's organizing the defense well and all sorts of reasons. So now it's almost like a civil war between two camps, the pro-Benjamin Nassari camp and the anti-Benjamin Nassari camp. And it's been a very interesting one to observe over the past games. So, Benjamin, we ask you to talk about Benjamin.
Benjamin and Kuzo, how do you feel? That man didn't get the same name.
I beg you.
Like, what do you make of this entire situation? Because, like, people are saying a lot of things. Like, what do you make of this? Do you think he's good enough to be the number one?
Okay, so I think that, first of all, we have, I would call it a mini goalkeeping crisis. Because, like you rightly mentioned, since we moved on from Olele, we've not really had a stable force in between the sticks for the Black Stars. So in recent times, we've gone through Kwesi Appiah, CK Akono, Milovan Rahevat, Chris Hutting, and now Otuado. So if you look at the goalkeeper trajectory, we've had Atizigi at a point. We've had Richard Ofori. We've had Razak Abalora. We've had the guy at UPenn, Manaf Nuruddin as well. And then we've had Benjamin Asare. So any team that...
Jojo Wollacott.
How could I forget? The guy who got injured when the wind or a gust of wind blew the training goalpost into his back or his shoulders. Like, I've never heard anything like that in my life before, prior to Wollacott. But that's one of the things. But even Wollacott, right? Remember, he came from the English third division, and a lot of people had issues with it. But the truth is, his shot stopping was decent. And so we had to make do with what we had. But the truth is, we've never really had like an elite goalkeeper in recent times, if we are being honest. Atizigi plays for St. Gallen in the Swiss League. And if you look at the awards and like, if you follow headlines in the Swiss League, he's literally the top goalkeeper in the Swiss League. Like shot stopping, all the categories that matter for a goalkeeper. But when he comes to Ghana, he concedes very strange goals. Like, I think that's what eventually led to him losing his place, especially in the World Cup qualifiers. He was conceding some very strange goals. His shot stopping was really dodgy. And then in the end, we had to move away from him. Also, I look at communication from Atizigi, and it wasn't always the best. He always seemed at odds with his defenders. And so there was also that problem. But I am not one of those who is getting swayed by the Benjamin Asare situation. Because, look, you don't need to be a genius to watch this guy tell that this guy can't be our number one goalkeeper. I mean, what are we doing? He can't be our number one goalkeeper. He's decent enough to take to the World Cup as a squad player and as a possible backup player. But if we are going to base our decision on the argument that he kept what, 5 clean sheets during the AFCON qualifiers, and so he's the one we should be taking, I don't think so. And again, I'm basing my argument based on the quality of opposition that we played in the qualifiers. We somehow managed to make the qualifiers more complicated than they should have been. We played Mali, we played Madagascar. These are not teams that should be causing us problems on a regular day. And so if we are keeping clean sheets in these type of matches, that is what I expect. That's like the barest minimum that I expect. So for the people who were clamoring for him to go, I think that a lot of people have their own agendas. If you follow Ghana football, everybody has an agenda that they run. And I'm predicting another agenda before it even comes. Because Asare is a heart of folk product, Asante Kotoko fans are going to start a campaign to have one of their players included in the World Cup squad by the time we get there. So just mark that on your wall somewhere. We'll get there. Kotoko wants their player in the squad. So as for Asare, look, it's not... Look, a goalkeeper who blooms, it's 30. Come on. Like, it's not a mistake that we've not seen him at the top level until this point. And when you watch Accra House of Folk, what is the state of Accra House of Folk now? Accra House of Folk is in shambles. They have become sort of a mid-table team that is like flirting to see if they can win the league. That's not Accra House of Folk standard. They are a team that were sure money to win the league every season. But now, the standard of players at House of Oak has dropped drastically. And I think also that there's this need to put local players in the squads for the World Cup because, like we rightly said, when there are local players in your squad, FIFA pays money to the clubs for every match that's played. And so, as in every player, so your clubs will get some money. So, Accra House of Oak get some money by virtue of the fact that their goalkeeper is there. And I think that also it helps certain people in pleasing certain quarters that there's a local quota within the team. But if we want to base this on a merit type situation and say that Asare is our number one goalkeeper, I think we are just being dishonest.
See, may I tell you, the truth there be one, people don't want to make a talk this. Every time I've seen that guy attempt to claim a cross, it's a problem. It's a big problem. Very big. Look, against Kotoko just last weekend, I see some clip B. Cross, it wasn't a some serious, this, you know, just simple cross from the right. Any competent goalkeeper comes and claims that ball, calms his defense, off we go. Asare, it's like he comes out because he doesn't plan to catch it. Then, as he's coming, he thinks, hey, yeah, it's too far. So he always does it. He comes out and then he stops halfway through, then he's just watching the ball. But if you talk, then we'll tell you, say, you be a hater. You know they like him because he play local league. Some people too say be sick of the way he look. You know they be fresh boy. That be why some people know make him. they say you open the one fresh boy keeper. Wait, your fresh boy keeper is no good. That be why you they hate. But on a more serious note, you know, people make the argument, oh, the whole team is no good and he's the best option that we have. He's not the best option that we have. He's the option that's coming at a time where our defense has been stabilized. He's the option that's coming at a time where the players decided that, you know what, we don't go AFCON. So the least we can do is to go to the World Cup. And he's benefited from that. Do you understand? We can't, in good conscience, as a nation, look at that guy and accept and agree that he's good enough to be our number one. Let's speak the truth. I feel like right now it has become an ego thing. People have attached their names to him. People have attached their pride to him. And now, anytime you talk about the fact that Asare is no good, like people that used to be very objective, now if you talk right now, it check like you they attack them. So if that's the case, then we can't talk about Asare at all. But if there was a midfielder, a defender, or a striker who was not playing well, but was featuring match after match, he wasn't giving any assists. He was just a stable player. And there was an option, or there was, like, we were all evaluating the team. A lot of people say, let's drop him. What be this guy mean? That right back, Seydou. A lot of people don't want him to play. A lot of people don't think he's good. But if we are going by the Benjamin Asare metric, then he's a very stable right back. He can defend. You know, he's not the fastest. He can't really overlap that well. But he's all right. He's stable. So we might as well just take him along as well. It doesn't matter in every part of the team. But all of a sudden, when it comes to the goalkeeping situation, all of a sudden, oh, we for take him go like that. He's the best. Oh, Europol, the best that you're talking about. At least he has played 7 seasons. This has played this number of seasons. That number, and all of them have come and we've seen them and they are not good. So let's take him along. The guy is not good. The guy is not good. If we go search some other goalkeeper, if he's in Afghanistan, Ethiopia, somewhere, make he can't play. Charlie, make sharp, then go search keeper. Because honestly, we can't take this guy to the World Cup. We go drink goals, make we shock.
Crack. I know you have a soft spot for Benjamin Asare because your boy, your true boy.
So. Killer, he no good. He be bomb. Make we speak the truth, oh.
Crack, me, I want to hear from you.
From Montpellier to America, nobody will stop me. With the
good. I think I'm good, yeah. Yeah, they never call. Call, yeah, they never call. But say, I'll bet you the old boy.
All the noise. Me, your example, you compare to right back situation, it is apples and oranges. We literally have depth in the squad, in the playing field, where you don't have to rely on a left back. You don't have to rely. There are talents everywhere. Right now, Ghana, we did, you know, mention one keeper. You see what you are saying? If we go find keeper from somewhere. If we go find keeper from somewhere. Mind you, first World Cup we go, Samir Ejie catch the qualifiers. We take Olele go. But Olele was a known name. Olele, they no go carry Olele from anywhere camp. Fatao Daudao, anybody where you can catch for those posts inside, no names, they've caught for then catch qualifiers or then catch AFCON or something from Wallacott to anybody, right? All I'm saying is right now, we are in a day and age where our goalkeeping situation is bad. But then again, the group we're in, we should have steamrolled it and even not conceded one goal. I'm not saying he's the best short stopper here. He's the best keeper here. I'm not saying that. That is not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is that right now, you know, say there are some keepers where they go feed their opponents and be like short, you know, they can't do my day. You know that. Eh?
Them save me the face.
Exactly. See, that is what. The time we go win the under 20 World Cup, right? How many people had confidence in the keeper? See, how many people had confidence in the keeper?
I think his name was Anan, was it?
No, it wasn't Anan. It was something. The Adaibi, the player. He gets some name, I forget. He gets some guy name, right? And all I'm saying is, that keeper was one of the most shakiest keeper I've ever seen. But see some fucking miracle you go do for the finals as we go down 10 men. See the Sango save we for penalties. We've seen teams go to tournaments with keepers where nobody they rate them, and something else. It's a tournament, like Daniel we saw Daniel J. Yeah, we've seen like tournaments where you don't have the best keeper. People don't know the keeper, but the playing body turns up, or they can play a tactics where one goal project something like so many things, or you won't go carry the player where you do so. A keeper will do so. What mean?
Richard Ofori.
See, Richard Ofori. Do you get it? Like, all I'm saying is right now, where we are now, anybody where if they talk something, just suggest a keeper. I won't hear somebody. Nobody is mentioning a name. And if you are saying that right now, you go search keeper, bring them come. Team chemistry be some way as at this point. It be very much some way because as I talk, Olele personally was a senior man. Olele was a senior keeper. Olele had more experience than Samir J. So if you can get a keeper like Olele and Kaliba, bring them come, I don't mind. Because we've tried keepers, so since Olele, we try like 10 keepers, so Smiley, people go things like the but count them.
But you see,
then Benjamin named them. I think he counted more than five
now,
of them, I think.
Between now and the World Cup in July, we can play enough matches to build, to have. See, my
why you don't go say why you don't go say the keeper for the qualifiers? Why now you don't go say the keeper?
Because make I just explain something to you. Because sometimes you see this Ghana blast the way they do the matches. You as the tablet, do you understand it? No, you tell me. Do you understand it?
I don't understand. That's why
you
want
somebody
that
to go play match. Then 30 minutes to the game before you go release lineup. Like, sick of, you know, the one make the opponent know the players. So they don't go feel prepared.
Now the direction and give me.
Make I just tell you the truth, man. If my problem with Benjamin Asare is not even about whether he, like, the basic things for a
goalkeeper. I don't have confidence in him more.
One, like he doesn't feel, and if
that's what I'm saying, that that's what I'm saying, that this thing, I've seen it so many times. If you follow football, like, look, there's been teams where we play against from our hood, like my team and things, right? They go come plus the shakiest keeper and things. Wallahi, ball no go, the ball go whack back. The ball no go enter that. Some people they carry some lacko, and they tell you that's in the moment. You see, and also, there's a reason why most people that were they back the guy. Because they like, you know, people like underdog stories. And because of what happened to Samir Ejie, people want to see this happen. And when be the last time you ever see any Accra House of Folk player or even keeper be a constant feature in the Black Stars. It's all part of this thing. I'm saying that, like, no, let's not look at it as face value, right? I am all open for we getting a good group wherever the keeper is. Make it.
I really hope this.
But all I'm saying is,
I've seen a couple of clips. There's St. Patrick's Athletic guy, the Anan guy. I just hope these two matches he be go play. Because, see, you see, me, my biggest problem, if you put the mention only, you mention, bro, Samir Jane level. The time you play Akara Sofok, you watch 2000, 2002, 2001, you watch Samir J, Akara Sofok, Massa, you see this big international caliber keeper, even in the Ghana Premier League. And at that time, the quality of the league was high. See the count goals this guy they concede. Right now, they say, you know, they concede clichés. Right now, I mean, in last two matches, he concede like four. Right, I consider like, so what again? Then go talk.
Then they work against them. They be like, smart way, they only help him. But all.
No, but that crack is. Do you get my point? Samir J was a fantastic goalkeeper. And so it was painful to see him not being there.
But that is why Ghanaians don't shout as an adequately good keeper came to take over and did things to dispel that. All I'm saying is, just make sure the keeper you can't replace him. You know, go make people talk, say, and Kamuma Benjamin Asarin Chisa. You know, Smiley, you guys know that's going to be the storyline. That's what they're going to happen. If like Olele do Yawa one time. Remember there was a time that Fatah Odada had a chance. 2014 World Cup. Then he not being for catch. So now they say, Charlie, hey, this is his time, blah, 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 blah. You see, Shansha. Your man go save Ronaldo in short. He celebrates like it be Jesus Christ, you see. You understand? See, some form keeper will take go walk up.
Killer.
So all I'm saying is, if we have somebody good enough, if he is on the bench, he has won. Being in the World Cup and even being on the bench, Benjamin Asare has won. Right? In life,
and
he has won.
A lot of Ghanaians will be happy. I think that's the thing. A lot of Ghanaians will be happy. If it's me, I don't have any
problem. Until then, let's not knock it off. That's what I'm saying.
Vangelia, I think Crack raises a good point when he says, at this point, whoever you take to the World Cup, if it's not Benjamin Nsari, you're putting the person under a huge amount of pressure. In terms of the fact that right now, we've seen Benjamin Nsari, like, regardless of whether you think he's good or he's not good,
Putting that aside,
here's a situation where the defense has looked stable, whether it's because of him or it's in spite of him. The defense has looked stable, and the team is generally not conceding as many goals as they used to. So let's say you bring a new keeper into the team. We go to the World Cup and they are conceding left and right. Then suddenly everybody is saying this guy is shy, like we just for use Benjamin. Sorry. So there are people who say that, okay, whether he's good or he's not good, the team is looking stable. So why is it that it seems like we just want to replace him for the sake of it? Because it's like we are not waiting for him to play himself out of the team. He has not yet done anything so bad. Granted, he's not really been tested, but he's also not done anything so bad to justify removing him at the moment. Maybe in future, right now, yes. If you say the guy, he get potential to be bombed, but the bomb no explode yet. So, like, at the moment, it makes like you just want to more time.
Give him first match.
It be the World Cup. We go World Cup. It be now with the contact.
It happens.
No, impossibly. See. I think because this, me, I've seen fine. Atizigi no so cry, he no good. All our keepers be bomb.
This is what people do, Kwaraseo.
All our keepers be bomb. Fair enough. I can agree to that. I can admit to that. Right? We don't have good. But there are also other keepers we've not tried. And I think when they put Benjamin Asare in the first match, either he'd be friendly or something like that. With them, so them, they just try and see how he go handle them. And he did well. The biggest mistake was Otuado came out after that game. That you see what happened. If your coach self, he no be experienced. He did do on the job training. He came out to say, at the moment, Asare is my number one. So it looks weird if you've said that and then right after that, the next match, you know, you jail. You see, so at the end of the day, even though on paper Atizigi is our best keeper, when he's in the sticks, he doesn't inspire confidence. And also,
before the World Cup, make him go cut the Rasta. You know, say before the World Cup, he tried keepers. At the end of the day, he still stuck with Atizigi. You did the same thing.
Yeah, because he didn't like what he saw, did he? I think this Joseph Ananga, they've been called.
Take the friendlies, try the keepers.
Like the GFA has to organize as many friendlies as possible. With make not be now we go play Nicaragua.
Let me just play Nicaragua, but play top like this two,
Japan, South Korea, good quality games. Then we go get maybe even if like Mexico or Paraguay or something like good quality teams where we go fear afford because that's why I know the mention England
again, and India. Again, playing devil's advocate again. So like mm-hmm. you're saying, on paper, Atizigi is our best goalkeeper. But for some reason, he doesn't seem to show it when he's playing for the Black Stars. So doesn't it show that maybe it takes more than just being the best goalkeeper to shine for your national team? Because, for example, when it comes to strikers, particularly for me, when it comes to strikers playing African football, somehow I don't think a certain profile of striker can be your leading striker when it comes to African football. So, for example, if you be the type of striker who is simply just a poacher, you are not physical, you are not a person who can hold up the ball. You just be the kind of striker where you show up in the right place at the right time and you score tap-ins and penalty box goals. Like, for example, Chicharito. I don't think those type of strikers tend to do well in African football. So maybe for your European club, you can be scoring a lot of goals. But those type of strikers, when you come to African football, you are more likely to succeed if you are the type of striker who occupies defenders. You hold up the ball. You are physical. You can dominate defenders. But so maybe when it comes to goalkeepers, for example, maybe there's a certain quality that makes him shine more than the others who have more technical qualities.
As you're talking, I'm not. It makes him shine when he's playing against African players. World Cup, you know, we'll go play Madagascar, Angola, then things. That's the point I'm making. We can all agree. Everybody that has eyes and is objective can see that this guy, the basics of goalkeeping, Krano, he's not good at it. And if we can see that, there's no point for us to go to the World Cup with that, to go and test. That's not the ground to get it. Bro, between now and the World Cup, is in no longer like that, 7 months or whatever. But there's a lot of time to at least play enough matches to see if we'll be able to get the good quality goalkeeper that we want. If we go try all the goalkeepers with them be of Ghanaian heritage, where everybody be bump, then at that point, every bump be bump. So we might as well just take our chief bump, then take and put the points and maybe go explode, make the other team know if he score. But at the moment, as far as we've not seen, like the Joseph Ananga guys I'm talking about, they've called him a couple of times, but he's never played any game. Let's use these two matches to try him. Make him play the two games. Make we see how he go perform. Let's see if he has something we can work with. Let's see how the defenders vibe with him and then how he commands his area and all those things. Let's just see. If he too, within the next 2 matches, yeah, it's a short period and I agree, that within 2 matches, he know they see it up. Fair enough. Fair enough. But at the end of the day, people, they act as if you say, let's just try somebody else, and you don't have a name on your tongue, it means you are being silly or you are being ridiculous. But at the end of the day, just because Black Stars be bomb, no, that means that we for carry more bomb, puts the bomb inside, make it just can't turn like uranium bomb.
But you see, this is the problem we have with you. There's been no indication why the guy is bomb. It's just you don't have confidence in him.
Kela, the guy be bomb. Why you don't get confidence? If you know be bomb, why you don't get confidence? Why you don't get confidence?
Listen. I am just saying that because I don't think it's the best we can offer. If there is another one out there, let look buff. So now that is working, maintain it. That's what we've been saying. Most of you guys, your criticism that you are going about, you have no evidence on whether he has conceded 5 goals, he has conceded shitty goals. Nobody has those evidence. Do you get it?
But there's nobody has that. Nobody has distribution. What evidence? Is poor. His short stopping is poor.
Listen. He will not be the first. Which short stop? Which top? Yeah, the guy how many goals he conceded?
You know the stop for Black Stars. If they catch for Accra,
would they do with facts? Even Accra, how many goals he conceded? Would they do with facts?
The guy moved from Liberty to Olympics when he was in Olympics. Go check his start in Olympics before going to Asofo. There was a reason why he made a jump. He made a switch. He was one of the best keepers in the local league. Whether the local league came down or not, with the based on facts. The guy had a terrible injury, right? Was it his leg, right? He had a terrible injury that kept him away for a year or two. Then he came the part of we am day. You understand? It was a long injury. Then we don't know say he go recover from such an injury and come back, be good enough to catch House of Folk. They know the asshole to be good enough to catch House of Folk, let alone be called for Black Stars. He has battled a lot. So people where they know the story, know all these things. All we are saying is, let's be evidence. Even for this friendly match itself, we go play with tough teams. I agree with you. Let's play with quality teams. Book will allow me to do mistake, and then we can reinforce all these things. All because what you did, Anan, you did talk, Anan, you are just basing it on hope that you think Anan will be better. So now I will put this Anan for poor inside, they will consist on go. They will toss it. Hey! See, so just be measured in your criticism. That's all we are saying. He hasn't shown anything. The defense has been good. Black Stars had one of the best defense in the qualifiers. We considered that everything was good. So we don't know whether it's his communication with the defense, whether it be in lack or anything. But you conclude say the guy be so bomb, say he doesn't deserve to be there. What do you mean by he doesn't deserve to be there?
I said, listen, what I talk be say. The fact he be bomb, make we just admit to that.
This is what I don't like.
He had give you a pussy, you go talk, say he be bomb. You said Blacks are having considered goals, but every time we consider a chance, he doesn't look good. His footwork is poor. If then they cut cross back, then the opponent, bro, we didn't see the clips. Maybe not the
key, your keeper for Chelsea, Insef, they cut
the time
you,
Onana did.
Sanchez take it go second.
It be Onana intend some be this. Onana intend this thing. It be the time Onana they enter. Everybody says fantastic goalkeeper. He can't mind you all of a sudden. If you hear a name, you say he will be policeman. You say he will be policeman. Masa.
Before we wrap up, let me just take a few comments from our different platforms because we've been getting a lot of comments, and me, I just wanted to read a few of them before. Just to acknowledge a few people. And this one that I'm going to start with, it touched my heart small also. This is from Bismarck Afu. I think it's coming from TikTok. So he was asking, so why people know they take this podcast thing serious? I really don't like you people, but you drop videos when you want. Why? And the why being caps. Why? So me, this one, I just want to see.
We are sorry.
We will change. But like, honestly, like this year in particular, like it's been a very topsy-turvy year. I think this year we've dropped like half of the number of episodes we dropped last year. So this year our consistency has been off, but this year it's been a whole bunch of different things. But Charlie, we didn't work on them. I think this is the first time in a long time that we are going to be recording 3 episodes in a row in 3 weeks. So
Charlie, we are sorry,
we'll do better.
Guy, can't ask me for my momo, then give me money.
Yeah, we beg. So,
Bismarck, tell them, may they admit it, Benjamin, I shall be bomb. If I don't talk, then say, make I don't talk.
Oh, goalkeeper. Goalkeeper, Nyazi.
Vangiona won't bring me, pull me back. But you, another comment that came from Joey Mod. This one, it was talking particularly about, I think it was Vangiona's comment last week on the Arsenal situation, where Vangiona was saying that Arsenal are not an entertaining team. And Joey Mod was saying, did you want us to dance on the field to entertain you? If you didn't want entertainment, go Shatta Show. I don't know, it's boring.
Hey, killer. Joey, see, if I catch the Accra day, if you see me for town, or make them just give we rings. Masa, we will do for them.
And then one last comment. This was also on the Arsenal being boring thing. I think that comment in particular, it triggered a lot of Arsenal fans. So this one was from Sir Nicholas T. I think this was also from TikTok. And he was saying, people blame Arsenal for being boring, but it takes two teams to play boring football. Tell other teams to stop playing low block football, and Arsenal are happy to open up and play. Two teams have tried it this year. Leeds and Atletico. Arsenal won 5-0 and 4-0. So tell your teams to open up and play football. stop shitting on low block. Cowards. So I stopped sitting on low block. That... So you in particular, I feel like you trigger people Plaza or
come. Bro, my team be boring. Make me just speak the truth. I watch as every time I watch as the my game and they sleep halfway through. What be this? It be boring pass. What be this? Ah, massa. You know they mean say they know the win or they know be good team. Maybe they are so much better than the other team. They because Arsenal can pick it up in an instant when they want to. Like against Sunderland when they needed to chase the game. Bro, some 20-minute period there. Then Sunderland know they get it, but they chase shadows. Brilliant. Where Arsenal score two. Then if them score you finish her, shake off, then they try to my defense. Then they just go slow the game down, massa. Check like you don't watch the game on this thing. You know they normal. You don't watch out for slow mo. Then it won't be this. So it won't be the low block. Will be you the like
the long and short.
Game,
you see the Arsenal fans. The long and short. You see the Arsenal fans. They make you leave them alone. So quickly before we wrap up, let me just go through our FPL top 10. It's been a while since we did this. So the top 10 position in our FPL league. I don't know. So in number one we have Fagbo FC, coached by Breezy W. Number two, we have De La Fred, coached by Fred Tete. Number three, we have Senyo Satellites, coached by Gilbert Lechu. Number four, we have Oaks FC, coached by Nana Kwame Okra, my guy Okra, shout out. Number five, we have Lumba Babies, coached by Kweku Ajay. Number six, we have Mandem FC, coached by George Ofori. Tied for number six also is the best 11, coached by Kofi Kweku. And then number eight, we have Club Ghazi, coached by Bernard Annan. Number nine, we have SMFC, coached by Mr. Smooch. And number 10, we have Cabo Corso, coached by Gideon K. So, yeah, that's our top 10 in FPL.
Adibre, quick question. How many points the last person gets? I just want to check something.
The last person
the last person be smiling. Make
330. Please, me are they top 40. Last person gets 337 what? Points.
Where top 40. How many? 42.
We won 100. So if I did top 40, it'd be...
killer. It'd be you, they top
the gun for, the gun for Champions League football, I beg. So yeah.
Top 40.
The last person gets 337 points. That'd be CDS FC, coached by Josiah Akiyaku.
Bro, so, they say what be the point? You can't mention
At least I know go top last. I play FPL for here. I get like 500 points, so I just did.
You go there top 30.
Like, you go there like mid table there. Me at this, I guess
top mid table, top 30.
You there? Anyway, we've come to the end of this episode. Charlie, thanks for joining us. Social media pages: Twitter, Instagram, ATW Podcast GCR, YouTube After the Whistle Podcast, TikTok After the Whistle. We are still on Spotify, Apple, Charlie, anywhere you go find podcasts, we did there. And Charlie, Benjamin, thank you so much. Delassi, thank you so much. Benjamin, I know say your schedule be very, very, very tight with all your sports shows you handle and everything. So Charlie, thanks for making time for us.
Yeah, but
we're hoping to get you.
Before we go, I just the talk say, make we keep an eye on the Black Stars friendly, the Japan game and the Korea game. So I think the Friday game be 10:30 Ghana time, because I think it's 7:30 Japanese time. So it'll be morning time action. I'm hoping to see a couple of the new guys and what they go do, especially when I'm midfield. When I'm midfield,
Benjamin Nasari go there, they pull inside.
When I'm midfield, they leak. So I want to see how the we manipulate a team that doesn't have Kudus, Partey, and all of those guys and how it comes out. And then also on the PL, Arsenal. This will be Arsenal the league to win. So me, I just want to talk, say if they don't win this title, then Arteta did for Saka, because he said this be phase five of the project. So phase five there, you for win the title. If you don't win the title, we'll sack you. Liverpool.
I say last season then for win.
Yeah, Liverpool, me, my stance be clear. Coach, you best sacking. So that's what it is. Smiley Charlie, shout outs to you, shout outs to Van Gelder, shout outs to Delassi. Today be the first time I did meet you. So shout out. Crack, Charlie, my guy. Only say United they kill you. Right now, the Amor fire sound clip. I mean, it look a little more decent now, but
we get new one. No, you don't know. We get new one. Lamentation. You know, you know, Baku.
We go say no one give you.
If it's so, if
honestly,
it's so.
I feel say United good job. United good job, top six.
Yeah, shout out to you guys. I for run right now. So Charlie, guys, appreciate the time.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Shelly, thank you. Bye. Thank you. The last, any final comments? Because Shelly, today the boys, boys won't go toe to toe plus you. So,
I see boys got agenda for me today, but not in sport. Like, maybe we for chalk, then see what the season has to offer. Already, we all talk on our mind. So, we left, make the football talk. So, we the chalk see.
Charlie, at the end of the season, we'll go see who will be proven right. So, Charlie, anyway, guys, thank you for joining us. It's been a long episode. And as always, ATW dominates the conversation.